talked about questions that arise from that empty seat, and David had his place in the church, and you have a place in the church. God's got a place just for you. Last week, talking about the arrows that fly past us in life, and that's where we left off with David and those arrows that went beyond him, and David begins to move away from the palace, and this is where we pick up the story today. In the first verse of this 21st chapter, the Bible says, "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee. And what have I commanded thee? And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." Skip down to verse number 7. "Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it to me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath." With this chapter kind of as a context really for the whole sermon today, but looking at verse number 10 specifically, David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. I want to talk to you today about running scared. Running scared. May the Lord bless you as you're seated this morning. It seems that in the life of every one of the great men of God's word, that there came those times in life where pressure was so great that the pressure seemed to overtake them and darkness enveloped their life, and we sit there wondering, will they be able to recover? Will they be able to get out of this story that they're in? And that's where we are at today in the life of David. And one thing I do appreciate about God's word and the leaders and the heroes of God's word, that the Bible is not a fairy tale where nothing ever goes wrong for the heroes of the Bible. It doesn't masquerade the events of life to where everything is always well, but on the contrary, it allows us to peer into the circumstances of God's great men and see their good days and their bad days. It allows us to see them at times of triumph, but it also allows us to see them at times of abject failure and misery, and probably none more so than in the life of King David. For even the Psalms, which I enjoy reading the Psalms, and the emotion and the openness to his soul as he writes those songs before God, both of travail before God and tragedy, but also of those times of triumph before God. Because how many of us live there? That there are days when it seems like triumph is everywhere around us, but then there are also days when it seems like pressure seeks to overwhelm us, and we don't know if we're going to be able to withstand. Even though we know the promises of God's word that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, even though we know the promises of God's word that he is with us and he's given us victory, still at times we find ourselves with a tendency to allow fear to set up residence in our life. And here we are in the life of David. The arrow has just been directed by God. God shows David, I'm not done with you. I'm directing your path. I've got it all laid out. All you have to do is trust me and follow me. And now we move into the next chapter and we realize that David succumbs to the fear that many of us as well succumb to in our life. And there are times that the promise of God and the providence of God, they seem to be contradictory. David knows that he's going to be the king of Israel. David knows he's been anointed. God does not make mistakes. God does not waste his anointing. David has been anointed to be king. But yet in the midst of it, here he is as a fugitive with no food, no weapons, even no friends at his side, all alone, running as a fugitive in the wilderness. It does not make sense how a fugitive broken without an army, without any money, without any food, could wind up being the next king of Israel, except for the fact that's what God wanted to do. That was the direction and the ordination of God. And so you and I cannot sit back and say, well, I don't think that's the way that God should do it. We'll spend our entire life trying to figure out how God does some things, but it comes down to the point that many times God does things so we will not get the credit for it. I mean, think about how many Jericho marches you've been in your life. Anybody remember? I mean, those things kind of have gone by the way of the grave, but it seemed like years ago, if we had a revival, you really couldn't have an old-fashioned revival without having a Jericho march. Well, I've probably been in a 15 or 20 Jericho marches, but there was only one in the Bible. How many fiery furnace stories are in the Bible? One. But how many times do we sing about it and preach about it? Many times God does things like he's never done them before, because if he always did it the same way, you know what me and you would do? We would hit the fast forward button and we try to get to the end of the story because we know how God is going to do it and we try to help him out. And when we got to the end of the story, we'd step back and we'd think part of it was due to our credit. So sometimes God does things so completely contradictory, so out of the ordinary, so never been done before. So at the end of the day, nobody can say anything except it must have been the Lord. This had to be God. It had to be God that sent David into the wilderness as a fugitive without money, army, weapons, and friends, protected him, spared him from the life of Saul, and brought him full circle back to the throne of Israel to be the next king that God intended for him to be. And friend, hear me today. Don't allow fear to set up in your heart. And that's the first thing we want to look at today, the fear that David felt. The Bible said that because of the fear that David had in his heart, he began to do things that he should have never, ever done. Fear was driving David, and fear is the absolute enemy of faith. And God does not intend for his church to be operating in fear, but we are to be operating in faith, that we walk in light of God's glory, that we walk in light of them, that regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it sounds like, regardless of what the devil says or circumstance looks like, God has promised that he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. God has promised me that he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. My hope is in the Lord. And so too many times that we allow fear to set up in our life, and fear will rob your joy. Fear will rob your praise. It'll steal the life out of you. And fear is the absolute enemy of faith. But I'd love for faith to break out in this building this morning, that we would understand what God's word says, that when the choir can sing a song that says everything he promised, he'll bring it to pass.
Amen. How can I believe that? I can believe it, friend, because I have faith in him. Not faith in me and you, but faith in God. Amen. Oh, if faith would break out in our life this morning. Amen. David, you don't need a sword. And David, you don't need to go down to King Achish. God has it planned out for you. Amen. God sent that arrow in the direction that he wanted to go. And in the midst of your journey, don't lose faith. There are people that are afraid of a lot of things. Maybe we could list your fears this morning. It might be a certain animal. It might be the dark and all of that. But spiritually, there are people that are afraid of failure. They're afraid to do something for God, lest they fail. They're afraid to seek for the Holy Ghost, lest they fail. They're afraid to obey God, lest they fail. There are young folks that are scared to get married, and you should be scared to get married unless you know it's the right one, because not only are they scared of marriage, but they're afraid of divorce as well. And think about what you're pledging when you stand before a congregation and God and say, I'm gonna love you till the day we die. And we understand that most Americans don't make that commitment before God, but there's a lot of young folks that are afraid of commitment. They're afraid of divorce and afraid of getting married, lest it would end in divorce. What about afraid of death? A lot of people are afraid of dying. They're afraid of what's going on in that next world and that next life. But really, when my hope is in Jesus, fear should not be in my life. But he has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. Is that still in your Bible? Amen. Is that still God's word? That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Is it still God's word? When God said, be careful for nothing, what was he saying? Quit having anxiety attacks. I'm going to work it out. If you're my child, if you're my property, I'll be your lawyer, I'll be your banker, I'll be your friend, I'll be your spouse, I'll be your healer, I'll be your song in the night, I will be everything to you. But he already told us in John, without him we can do nothing. So without him, I know I'm hopeless, but with him, somebody help me preach, with him cannot we overcome. With him, I said, with him, are we not greater? The greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Hey, somebody wake up this morning and tell me, is it still God's word that says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper? Amen. It didn't say that a weapon would not be formed. Oh, it will be formed. They'll lie about you. They'll ridicule you. They'll criticize you. They'll mock you and do all kinds of things. But God's word says it shall not prosper. And good news, friend, we are on the winning side. David, you're a king in this world, but you're serving the King of Kings. Why are you running scared? Why do we lean on the flesh when we have the King of Kings as our Lord and Savior? I'm not trying to sell books this morning, because I've never written one, so I couldn't sell you my book. But if you've been in the Christian bookstores, I read this book last year. It's got a big three in it. It's by Les Parrott, which is one of my favorite writers. Most of the time they write about family issues, and he wrote one book called The Parent That I Want to Be or I Ought to Be, that was to me a great book. But this book, it's all about, and I'm gonna kind of paraphrase it a little bit. It's all about moving from fear to faith. And the premise of the book is this, that there are some people that have a tendency or a proclivity to negativity. That no matter what happens in life, their first thought is negative. Don't point any fingers. because we don't have anybody going to church like that. But his premise is this, that within 3 seconds, that if you will reject the first thought of negativity, the next thought is one of possibility. The next thought is one, how can I overcome? That when a bad thing happens in life, your first thought is whatever, I give up. But if you hold on, one, two, three, that your brain is conditioned that if you reject the negative, a positive thought arises. Now, I know that's a little bit of psychology this morning, but really, isn't that what fear and faith is all about? Something comes up in our life, and the devil says, see, your dad died of the same thing, and fear grabs a hold. When if we would reject that fear, the very next thought could very well be a scripture that we begin to claim promises with God. Amen. Oh, friend, this morning, God does not want us operating in the realm of fear. He does not want us running scared. He does not want us intimidated by circumstances or the devil himself. But somebody believe God this morning for something that only God can do. That requires faith. If I can do it, it doesn't require faith. It requires action. But if I can't do it and only God can do it, I've got to have faith. Can you think of anything this morning that you need the help of God for? Can you think of any incidents, any circumstances, any illness? I say God is able. I say God can do it. I say God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we are able to ask or think. What a great God we serve this morning. Oh, what a great God we serve. And we've allowed the devil to do what he did to David and send him into a path of fear. And that is not God's will. God wants you to trust him. God wants you to believe him this morning. The fear David felt. Number two, notice the place that David goes. It's in verse number one. He goes to the house of the Lord. And there are 86 priests here in the house of God. So notice with me, number two, the sanctuary David sought. But as David comes running in the house of God, Ahimelech says, well, your Bible says that he was afraid of David. Don't think for a moment that when you come to the house of God, God doesn't know what's going on in your life. He does. And so sometimes the preacher will get up or somebody will testify and you're like, how did they know? How? They must have heard my phone conversation. They must have read my email. How in the world? Because Ahimelech said, David, something is wrong. What's wrong, David? Because God knows exactly where you're at. But right here, let's not make the same mistake David makes. David is running scared. He comes in the house of the Lord and he asks for food. He comes to church wanting something, asking something from God, and not ready to work on who he is, which is about 95% of the church world. They go to church to ask God, God, give me something, give me something, give me something. And David really didn't need God to give him something. He needed God to change him. He needed God to take him from fear to faith. He needed God to remind him, I know exactly where you're at. I'm still your God. So it may not be you need to come to God this morning and say, Lord, give me peace. Lord, give me something. Give me my healing. Give me God. It may be that you need to come to God and say, Lord, is there areas that I need to work on in my life? God, it's not what you can give me, it's how that you can change me. That's a different prayer than a lot of people are willing to pray. But it's really what David needed. I don't want to be part of a group of people that represents those that go to God's house only for what they can get. I'm trying to be a better person. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. And do you think God knows how to show me that? And where am I going to get that help? It's going to be in God's house. And so while he's in the house of the Lord and he's consumed with what he is getting, he notices out of the corner of his eye, Doeg is there, who's in charge of all of Saul's cattle. And he has heard David's lie before Elimelech. So right here, if David would have quit asking God for something and allowed God to change him, story could have been completely different. But fear reigns in David's life, and he sees Doeg. So the first thing he says is, "Do you have any weapons?" Instead of trusting God, let me take it. I'll fix this thing. You've been there before? When you should have been trusting God completely. Well, I'll tell you, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to this, I'm going to that. And it's really, that's not it at all. You got to trust in God. And so he goes back to that sword of Goliath. I want you to get this. They unwrap it. Amen. They undo the wrapper and they show it to old David. David said, "There is none like it. Oh, the sword of Goliath. But what good is a sword of a past victory when you're living in defeat? What good is it, what God did back then, if you're living defeated on the run in fear right now?" The people that are always bringing out the old swords, that are always talking about the way that it used to be, that are talking about it'll never be like it once was, those are folks that are living in defeat. And they're bringing out the old swords and they're dusting them off because they are living in defeat. But God help me today. Thank God for what he did last year, what he did 10 years ago, what he did 20 years ago, how he saved me as a little boy. But I'm 37 now, I've got 3 children. I can't fight today on what God did back then. I can't win today's battle on an old sword. I've got to have new help. I've got to have new strength. I've got to have more power. I've got to have more anointing. I said, "God, do it again the way you visited then, the way you've moved in the past. The revivals you sent, God, would you do it again? Would you pour out your power one more time?" Oh, somebody now somebody that's really in love with Goliath's sword, they don't like you talking about them living in defeat, because they think you're trying to take Goliath's sword and rewrite history like it never happened. We're not trying to rewrite history. We're just not trying to live in the past. There are some folks that never, ever got past David killing Goliath. That was the end of it. That's the end of the story. Well, think about what all they missed in the life of David, because they fell in love with what God did back then. Anybody willing to admit this morning in God's house? You say, "You know, that's exactly what I do, Brother Ralston. When I begin to pray and I feel like there's areas that I need a breakthrough on, and I really try to do something new for God, and I really try to have faith, I feel like the pressure of hell intimidates me, and I back down, and I run back to that old sword of Goliath, and I shine it up real good, and I remember a day when God used to visit me. Testimony goes something like, well, I thank the Lord that I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. After 20 years of that testimony, don't you think you could put in another couple syllables, maybe another line or two of what God has done right now? Here's a news bulletin for you. He's not out of business. Our God is not dead. He's not done saving folks. He's not done baptizing in the Holy Ghost. He's not done sending revival. Heaven is not bankrupt. Heaven is not going out of business. And His word still says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I promise to be in the midst. I said, God, let this assembly, let this church house, let this pastor, let this choir, let this be a group of people that want a genuine, a red hot, a true blue, a sin killing, a devil chasing, a Christ exalting move of the Holy Ghost. Somebody that's always living in defeat, they want to talk to you about the sword of Goliath. Well, guess what? David was a little old shepherd boy. He's a king now. You can't win king battles fighting the way you fought Goliath. God's wanting to do something new. David didn't learn this lesson because fear has such a hold of David's life. You know where he goes? He goes over to Achish. The Philistines. He goes to the worldly side. And isn't that really what we do a lot of times? Let me just pastor from experience here a little bit. When somebody starts backsliding or backing up, when somebody doesn't have victory in their life spiritually, who do they like to go hang around? You don't want to hang around a new convert if you're backsliding. You don't want to hang around somebody seeking the Holy Ghost when you're on your way out, because it condemns you. It reminds you of where you're at. It reminds you of what you're forfeiting. You want to get around somebody that doesn't know your God, that doesn't challenge you, that doesn't remind you of what you used to. That's why they kind of travel in cliques. But God, this morning, I'd love to stir you. I'd love to challenge you here this morning and tell you that God loves you with an everlasting love. And if there are battles that you have not won, if there are areas that you have not conquered, don't quit, don't lay down, don't give in, don't surrender to the devil, but this morning make a fresh commitment, make a new start that says, God, I want victory, I want deliverance, I want joy, I want power, I want peace. God, give me the Holy Ghost again, all over again. Running scared. The good news is David learned his lesson, because Psalms chapter number 34. You can stand with me, I'm done. Psalms chapter number 34 was written at the end of this story. David learns his lesson. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear his name and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. David got tired of running scared. David got tired and said, Lord, I need you to meet me right here. I need you, God, right here, right now. Lord, I regret this relationship with Achish. God, I need to start over. Lord, I've been dominated by fear. Matter of fact, you start the 22nd chapter, David's in a cave. He's getting some army together. He's different in the 22nd chapter. This is David at a low point. Somehow God finds him, delivers him. And David says, I tell you what, boys, here we go. Here we go. It's on now. I'm not living in fear anymore. I'm not running scared anymore. God is still with me. God has not forsaken me. Somebody here this morning, that arrow shot past you last week. And on this journey now toward that arrow, fear, fear, lack of faith tries to dominate your life. But this morning you say, God, I need faith to break out in my heart. I need faith to arise in my soul. God, I need more faith to conquer the fear. That's you. I'd like for you to lift your hand in this building right now. Let a spirit of faith. Oh, yes. God is not.